Good morning, everyone. On Sunday mornings, I have been talking on this text, Opening the Hand of Thought. And this is kind of a manual of our Zazen practice written by my teacher, Kosho Uchiyama Roshi. And last week, we started to talk on the part four, the world of intensive practice. And actually, this is about the session Uchiyama Roshi started at Antaiji. And here at Sanshinji, we also have 5-day session as Uchiyama Roshi did at Antaiji in Kyoto. So this is about the session, but not only session, our day-to-day sitting is the same. And about the previous part, he explained our Zazen, and this section part is about the session, the very intensive practice of Zazen during the 5 days. As we have the schedule here, we sit one period for 15 minutes and 10 minutes kihin, and we simply repeat this sitting and walking for 14 times a day for 5 days. So besides sitting, we do nothing but 3 meals. We have 3 meals and short breaks after each meals. So it's a pretty intensive practice of Zazen. And he started to talk about the characteristics of this Zazen or session. In this session, we have no other activities, so we really focus on sitting facing the wall. And sitting facing the wall, I always say, it is facing the Buddha and facing ourselves. So there's no distraction. We only sit facing the wall, Buddha, and ourselves. And when we sit in such an intensive schedule, very fast thing we experience is boredom. Not only boredom, but sleepiness and a lot of thinking. Our mind might be so much thinking, and so, you know, often we are sleepy, especially our first few days, because, you know, our day-to-day busy routine of our life is cut off, and our life become very quiet and slow. Then naturally we become sleepy. So we see, you know, how tired we are to live in this noisy, busy daily lives. So as those, you know, thinking and sleepiness are the things we have to deal with, but not only during session. So he talks about, you know, thinking and sleeping in the previous part. So during session, he talks about two things. One is boredom. Another is we cannot sit so much with my own willpower. So we have to let go of our personal willpower. I will practice this. It doesn't really work. We can sit, you know, for 14 hours a day for 5 days with my willpower. So So we have to let go of our willpower and trust the energy beyond or before or deeper than my personal, you know, intention. Otherwise, we cannot sit for 5 days. And not only 5 days once in our lifetime, but at Antaiji we had this 5-day session 10 times a year. That means every month. And I have been practice, you know, this way for first 20 years. So for 20 years, I sat, you know, this 5-day session almost every month. So this session became a part of my life. Anyway, so now he talks about, you know, this boredom during the session. And this is something to do with time. So let me read a few paragraphs about in 60, if we have this text, page 65. The title of this section is Before Time and I Effort. So now I talk, he's talking about this time, or he said before time. What is before time? That I think it's interesting. Anyway, so what he said during the session, time doesn't fly. You know, in our daily lives, we feel, you know, time flies so quickly, so swiftly. But at least during Zazen or session, time doesn't fly. It's almost stay without moving. That is what I say, no boredom. And we cannot do anything, no entertainment. So our time is so slow, and one period of even 50 minutes is really long. Sometimes we feel it's as long as eternity. Anyway, last week I talked until the bottom of page 65. So today I start from the final last paragraph of page 65. When we transcend time, so he used this word, transcend. Transcend time. It's kind of interesting expression. How can we transcend time, go beyond time? When we transcend time or forget time, we actually meet the fresh reality of life. Time exists for us because we compare one moment with another. And in the welter of perception, we feel time flowing swiftly. When we no longer compare and just be that self, which is nothing but self, then we are able to transcend this swiftness or comparison that we call time. Those who continue sitting session no longer recall time. Simply hearing 3 gongs, you begin Zazen. If it's 2 gongs, then Kinhin. Another 3 gongs signal. 3 gongs signal that it is time to sit again. Then 2 gongs and it's back to Kinhin. We just continue the session as it is, following the signals of the bell. No one thinks about whether it is a long time or a short time. Finally, without thinking about it, 5 days have passed and the session is over. Only then do we notice we have completely forgotten time while doing the Zen. Though I am afraid that such an expression may invite serious misunderstanding, it may be more appropriate to say that just applying ourselves to the Zen, 5 days have passed all by themselves. Actually, no matter what words we use, nothing is really appropriate. We simply have to experience our session personally. This kind of experience actually shows us just what time is, as well as what before time is. Ordinarily, we take it for granted that we all live in time. But through session, we are able to experience directly that this is not so. Rather, it is the life of the self, that creates the appearance of time. So this is one thing we can see during the experience of session, this intensive practice, very, you know, focus on really just sitting without doing anything else. And this is one important point of Dogen's teachings. You know, Dogen has a very unique insight about time, the nature of time. Anyway, let me read sentence by sentence from the beginning. He said, because there's no entertainment, we become very, you know, bored. So we try to entertain ourselves within our mind, but we become tired of entertaining ourselves. So we try to forget it and really focus on just sitting right now, right here. When I started to practice this session in my early 20s, you know, sometimes I count the number of the period I have sat. You know, so we sit, you know, 14 period a day. So when one day, first day is over, I sat, you know, 14 period is gone. And I need to sit 50 more period. When I, you know, count, you know, the number of the entire session, that is about 70 hours, you know, time doesn't really fly so slow. So I always become frustrated and disappointed. So I, you know, give it up and really just sit this period, or even this moment. Then it's little by little, without, you know, counting. You know, sometimes we during session I felt like it's driving a long distance, and we calculate how many miles I have to drive, or how many hours and we calculate how much I have, you know, driven. So there's, you know, how many more miles I have to go. If we do during session, that's such a thing, you know, we cannot really, you know, complete. We give up. So I forget the time to, you know, or I try not to count that way. So simply focus on this moment, or only this period. That is how we forget the time, or in his expression, transcend the time. So transcend the time sounds like something mysterious happening, but that is not. But it's just, you know, focus on this moment, this moment, this moment, and this moment, without calculating the length of time. So that is what this expression, transcend time, means. Focus on this moment. When we transcend time or forget time, we actually meet the fresh reality of life. To me, this is not to me, but this is very different from our common understanding of time. We usually think, as I often say, we are living within the time that is flow from the past to the present toward the future. And we measure the time, you know, in the case of sitting, one period here, 50 minutes. So we think, you know, this 50 minutes I sit, but before that 50 minutes I did something, and after this period is over, you know, I need to do something else. This is how we think about time. So when usually I wake up at 4:30 and sit from 5:10 to two hours before breakfast. That is my daily routine. So in my mind, I think, you know, in the 5 days a week, I wake up at 4:30 and sat two period, and my day begins. That is how we think. That means, you know, there's certain, you know, flow or stream of time, and within this time, there's certain routine, certain things we have to do. And after that, we do something. We schedule our life, and we think this is the framework of our life. And not only our day-to-day lives, but also, you know, we were born at a certain period of time and live this length of time, and hopefully I live 20 or 30 more years and disappear. So in our common understanding, this is our time, our life, but time flows even I was born, and time flows, continue to flow even after my life. And we are within this stream of time only this period. So this is like as Uchamuroshi sometimes says, we appear in the stage something times and do something on the stage for a certain period of time, and we disappear from that stage. That is our common understanding of time. But he said, this is not really true. As an understanding, it might be correct, but this is not really our actual life experience. We are not sure if time really existed before I was born. There's no way to make sure. And there's no way to make sure if time continues after our death. Because, you know, because for my friends, my parents died, still I'm alive, so I can guess even after my death, you know, people continue to live and time continue to flow. And because we study the history or the story my parents told me, I know there was a time before I was born. But those are simply information about the past or the future. And we kind of create this flow, stream of time. But there's no way we can make sure past really existed or future really, you know, continue to exist. We only see and experience within our life experience is only that, only this moment. So Uchiyamaro said, we are born together with entire world. So this, my world, is created when I was born, and it continued until I die. That is real time in our life experience. But within this life experience, we study the history about the past, and we have some hope or expectation or plan about the future. That is what we experience in our zazen. You know, as far as we are counting the period of, you know, zazen during session, we are living within this stream, and we know this is a fiction. So when we really just at this moment, we find only this moment is real reality. You know, past has already gone, and future has not yet come. Only this moment. But within this moment, you know, entire past is reflected, and only within this moment, entire future is reflected. But as a reality, past has already gone, future has not yet come. So this moment, that is the reality of time and the reality of our life. And when we sit with forgetting, you know, this stream flows of time, we really face this real time. That is what he meant. When we transcend or forget time, we actually meet the fresh reality of life. That means when we think in this way, we don't really meet with fresh reality of life, but we kind of are making a story, and within this story produced in our mind, we think, now I have to do this thing or that thing. And next, tomorrow, I have to do this thing or that thing. But according to Uchiyama Roshi, you know, that is a fiction. Time exists for us because we compare one moment with another. So time is created in our mind. And in the welter of perception, we feel time flowing swiftly or slowly. So time is actually created in our mind. When we no longer compare, that means when we really focus on right now, right here, at this moment, without any comparison, we compare about the time we have, you know, joyful things we can, you know, enjoy. When we do something enjoyable, the time really flies. And when we cannot enjoy, time doesn't fly. So time go so quickly, and time sometimes doesn't fly. But those are all our mental production. And usually we compare this moment with the time, you know, we measure with a watch. And we think, you know, objectively 1 hour is this length. And sometimes I feel, you know, 1 hour is much longer than as it is. And sometimes I feel 1 hour is just one moment, depending upon condition of our mind. So we think, you know, there's certain kind of a measurement or rules we can measure the length of time. But this time, you know, the watch shows to us is not really there. It's a kind of a concept. But our actual time is time. It become, you know, slower or quicker, faster. That is actual real time we experience. There's no such objective 1 hour. So when we no longer compare and just be that self, which is nothing but self, then we are able to transcend this swiftness or comparison that we call time. Those who continue sitting, session no longer recall time. Not all of them. I sometimes you know, measure how long and how many, you know, period I have already, you know, sat, so how many more sitting. So not always, or not all of people who sit, but if we really want to sit, you know, we have to forget about time and sitting this moment, this moment, this moment. Simply hearing 3 gongs, you begin the Zen. If it's 2 gongs, then Kinhin. Another 3 gongs signal that it is time to sit again. Then two gongs and it back to Kinhin. We just follow the bell or gong. So we don't need to think what is next. Next is always sitting. That is a difference from this our session here and other kind of session when there are many different activities like chanting or audio meals or lectures or, you know, interview or work period. You know, we, you know, go on, back and forth between sitting and something else. So we have to think what is next. And it takes a little time to return to the Zen. So, you know, that is why I kind of make clear distinction between session and retreat. During session, we really focus on sitting without doing anything. Because to me, it's really different. You know, that session with those various activities is a kind of, is not meaningless. It has its own meaning, but it's different nature. So without thinking, we just follow the signal of the bell. 2, 3, 2, 1, that's all. So we don't need to think, really think, what next. That means we are released from, you know, our thinking of what next. And in the next situation, what I have to do, what is the role, or what is my role, I have to play. I can really be myself and settling, facing the wall. So we don't need to think what is the next, or next period, or next day, or what is my duty or responsibility. During session, our responsibility is just be here, just be myself, nothing else. So in a sense, this is really a liberation from that kind of day-to-day lives. We have to think and measure the time and what is next and what is my role, my responsibility in that situation. But if we really sit in that situation, we don't feel that is a liberation. Often, I want to escape. You know. No one thinks about whether it is a long time. There's no way to compare anymore. This is like, in Genjo Ko and Dogen Zenji Road, when we sail on the boat, while we are sailing by the coast, we can see the change of the scenery. But when the boat go into the midst of the ocean, we only see the round circle of the horizon. We see nothing. When I sit Sesshin, I feel the same way. There's nothing. You know, the past is so far away already, and the future is also far away. For now, there's only a horizon, only the circle of the ocean. It's a kind of a liberation, but it's boring. So no one thinks about whether it is a long time or a short time. There's no way to measure, you know, if we don't have a watch and compare. Finally, without thinking about it, 5 days have passed and the session is over. Only then do we notice we have completely forgotten time while doing zazen. Though I'm afraid that such an expression may invite serious misunderstanding. This misunderstanding means we enter some kind of a mysterious realm, some kind of psychological stage where time doesn't exist. But that is not what he meant. That's why he said to say, you know, forget the time or transcend the time might create, you know, serious misunderstanding. So it may be more appropriate to say that just applying ourselves to zazen, simply try to sit moment by moment, 5 days have passed all by themselves. It's within our zazen, 5 days passed by themselves. Actually, no matter what words we use, nothing is really appropriate. That means there's no appropriate, exact expression of this practice or this experience. We simply have to experience a session personally unless we really experience it, there's no way to exactly express what this is. So he has been explaining what this dasan is and what we experience during session. But he said that explanation is not really real thing. So this explanation is simply a finger to point the moon. So if we really understand what he's trying to say, we need to experience this practice by our body and mind. This kind of experience actually shows us just what time is, as well as what before time is. So, time and before time. Ordinarily, we take it for granted that we all live in time, like this, as a time is a kind of a time and space is a kind of a framework of our life, and we appear certain time and certain place within a time and space and live for a while within certain time and a space, and we disappear. That means we feel we live within the time, framework of time and space. But through Sesshin, we are able to experience directly that this is not so. Then what is the reality, he said? Rather, it is the life of the self, our life, that creates the appearance of time. So time is created with our life force, our life experience. So this is Uchiyama Roshi's kind of a expression or explanation about what we experience regarding the time. But this but experience and insight came from Dogen's teachings. So, Uchiyama Roshi tried to explain or express what Dogen wrote without using much Buddhist technical terms. So when we read Uchiyama Roshi's this kind of description, because he doesn't use any difficult philosophical or Buddhist terms, so we think we understand it. But that is a kind of danger. So I often translate his colloquial expression into more traditional Buddhist expressions. Actually, what Uchiyama Roshi did was opposite, because Buddhist expression or logics or philosophy is so difficult for us modern people, even Japanese, because we don't know, we are not familiar with Buddhist terminologies. Because in Japan, Buddhist text or Buddhist terminology are not translated into Japanese, actually. We simply use Chinese word, even the word prajna or hanya. And there's no Japanese word for hanya or prajna. We use the expression hanya. And also, hanya is in Chinese, qie means wisdom, but qie is still Chinese. So there's no such Japanese word, but we simply accept the Chinese expressions and we use as a Japanese. And because we are familiar with this word, qie, from Chinese, we think we understand, but it's really not a Japanese. So it's still something foreign. So what Uchamuroshi is doing is to translate Buddhist expression into modern Japanese. And that's why we think his writing is acceptable or accessible and understandable. But this understandable is another kind of a trap, because his expression is not so difficult. We think, I understand it. But when we, that, so I, what I'm doing is to translate opposite way. That means what Uchamuroshi is saying here is not so easy things to understand. And to do so, I often introduce what Dogen says about the same thing. Then we see, you know, it's not so easy things to understand. Then we have to, you know, consider what this means. That is, at least that is my way of studying Dharma, reading Dogen or other Buddhist texts, and reading Uchamuroshi's, and try to find the, how can I say, the thread. And about the time Dogen wrote a chapter of Shobo Genzo entitled Uji. Uji. U is a being, and Ji is time. Actually, this Uji, as a common expression, means one time. Or once, sometime, once upon a time. But he did this Uji as a very unique way. U can mean being or to be, and Ji is time. And he did this as a noun and make a kind of a, make this as a abstract noun, as being, time, compound of being and time. And this being and time is really one thing. It's not two thing. And in Shobo Genzo Uji, he says, when, if we, this is a translation by Norman Waddell and Abe Masao, if you want to check this book, this appears in page 49 of The Heart of Dogen's Shobo Genzo. Dogen says, we set the self out in array, A-R-R-A-Y, array, and make that the whole world. Do you understand? We set the self in array and make that the whole world. That means the whole world is part of us within this network of interdependent origination. There's nothing is separate. We are really one with the entire world. So we set the self out in array and make that the whole world. So ourselves and the entire world is one thing. We must see all the various things of the whole world as so many times. So not only within the space, we are one together with all beings. Within this network of interdependent origination, each being is existing as a knot of the thread within this Indra's net. So, actually, this entire network is ourselves within time, within space. But he says this is the same within also the time. And he said, we must see all the various things of the whole world as so many times. So this is a being, but this is also time. Being and time. So now, if we sit, this is a time of sitting. My time of sitting. And this entire world is sitting. So there's no separation between self and this entire world, in the entire network, and this moment. This is one thing. And these things do not get in each other's way, any more than various times get in each other's way. Because of this, there is an arising of the religious mind. Religious mind, I think, is a translation of bodhicitta, way-seeking mind. At the same time, and it is the arising of time of the same mind, so it is with practice and attainment of the way. We set ourselves out in array, and we see that. Such is the fundamental reason of the way, that ourself is time. Ourself is time. Ourself is being. Ourself is this entire network. Ourself is this world. There is nothing other than ourselves. That is what, you know, Uchiyama Roshi meant when he said, the self that is only the self. Then, since such is its fundamental reason, or fundamental reality, we must study and learn that myriad phenomena and numberless grasses or things exist over the entire earth, and each of the grasses and each of the forms exists as the entire earth. Entire earth doesn't only mean the space, but this is entire earth, and this is also entire earth. To see, you know, this reality, we are connected throughout space and time, and this is one thing. To see, to awaken to this reality, he said, is these comings and goings, and within this time and space, total time and total space, we are coming and going. These comings and goings are the commencement of Buddhist practice. So to live together with all beings throughout space and time is the, he said, commencement of Buddhist practice. That is the beginning of our practice as a Buddha student. When you have arrived within this field of suchness, it is a single grass. He said, we are living together with this everything within time and space, but he said, it is a single grass, a single form. The forms are understood and not understood. Understood means, you know, each and everything is one thing. Me or you or other beings as individual. And yet these all individuals are living together, existing together with all beings within time and space. So the forms are understood and not understood. Means we think, no, this is me, this is a book, this is something else. That is how we understand. But not understood means there's no such shohak or book or I don't know what this is. Or simply one thing, entire world, entire time and entire space. Then there's no way to understand. So we let go. And the grasses are grasped, are not grasped. When I think this is a book, I grasp this thing. But this is not really a book. That means I don't grasp it. So this is how we deep grasp and not grasp, or understand what this is and forget about understanding. Just be one with everything. And a little later, he says, in page 51, hence, pine trees are time. Pine trees are time, not only human beings, but pine trees are time. So are bamboos or pumpkins. Yesterday, Nick and Molly made a pumpkin, you know, car. It's really wonderful. But those pumpkins are times. Only one day a year, on the day of Halloween, that makes sense. So are bamboos. You should not come to understand that time is only flying past. You should not only learn that flying past is the virtue inherent in time. Flying past means this flow of time. If time were to give itself to merely flying past, it would have to leave gaps. Gaps means this flow of time, and when we are born, we jump in this stream and swim for a while and disappear. If this is a common idea of time among us, but if we think in this way, there is a gap between this time that is always flowing and a person jump in and stay for a while and leave. That is what he meant. There is a gap between me and these things. So we are like a guest or a visitor within this flow of time. But he said that is not a real reality. Time is, or our life gives time, give a birth to time. So time and me has no gap. Me, this self is itself time. You fail to experience the passage of being time. So not only time, but being time. This me, this being, and the time I'm living is one thing. So you fail to experience the passage of being time, and hear the utterance of its truth, because you learn only that time is something that goes past. Then he says, the essential point is, every entire being in the entire world is each time. An independent time. Even while it makes a continuous series, inasmuch as they are being time, they are my being time. In this translation it said my, but I don't think it's really my. But could you, yes. the in the original expression of Dogen. That he wrote is Ga U Ji. Ga is self, and U is being, and Ji is time. But I don't agree with this translation, my being time. I think this should be I and being and time as simply one thing, one single thing. If we translate this as my being time, something like a being time is my possession. But that's not what Dogen meant. But he said this person, self, and this entire network of beings and time are simply one thing. So this is one word, one noun that point out this reality of oneness or identity of self, being and time. Well, this is very unusual way of viewing our self and our world and the time. But what Uchiyama Roshi is pointing out in this book is the same thing as what Dogen wrote in Shobogen Zouji. And that is what we actually experience in our Zazen, I mean during Sesshin. Not only Sesshin, during Sesshin, but each moment of Zazen is the same thing. And when we see from that point of view, that means from our Zazen, when we experience that thing, that not a thing, but and reflect our day-to-day lives, even the daily lives in which we think we are living within time and space, is also the same reality. So not only during Zazen, or not only during Sesshin, but our life is really Ga Uji, self, beings, and time as one thing. But if Uchiyama Roshi, you know, quote what Dogen wrote here, it becomes too philosophical or difficult to common people. So he didn't quote, but he, Uchiyama Roshi tried to express without using that kind of difficult idea. But still, it's a difficult things to express. But it's a simple thing to experience. But to express or explain this simple experience is very difficult. It's not so simple thing. Well, this is what I have to say this morning. Any question or comment? Do you have any disagreement with what he wrote or Dogen said? Please.
In the paragraphs that you read, there is a note. Note number 38, it is. I don't have the book with me, but there are two Japanese phrases that he mentions in the note. One is begins kaku something something, and it says it's the same as niotse, I think it is. And I was wondering if you could speak about that briefly.
The note of this,
I think it,
30,
I think it's 38 is the note in the back.
note 38, it says, the session continues as it is a translation of expression kaku no gotoku.
Mm-hmm.
Kaku no gotoku with the same meaning as nyoze, indicating that the session continues regardless of the fiction of time. This is a note.
Mm-hmm.
And this note is made, I think, by me.
Oh.
this expression, kaku no gotoku, Uchamuroshi used, is a Japanese colloquial expression of Chinese word nyoze. Nyo is like, and ze is this. In Japanese, we read kaku no gotoku, like this, or in such a way.
Mm-hmm.
But this expression kaku no gotoku, as within Zen literature, this is word used to point out the reality as it is, same as suchness. Or thusness. So that means when we sit, letting go of thought and just try to be right now, right here, without making any comparison, whether it's longer or shorter, then the reality itself, thusness or suchness, beyond or before our process of thinking, appears.
So it means, does it mean direct experience?
Yeah.
No comparison this moment to
right.
The future moment.
But the reality of time and space,
mm-hmm.
before we process through our mind, our thinking. Okay. Anything else? No. Good.
Thank you.